Order.
The Speaker, David Carter, who became piggy in the middle when the first question of the day bogged down an argument over what he said the Prime Minister said yesterday was not the same as what the Minister answering for the Prime Minister said today. The question, continuing the debate over the Deputy Auditor General's report on the Sky City Casino Convention Centre deal, came from Labour's Deputy Leader, Grant Robertson.
My question is to the Prime Minister. Does he agree that the Prime Minister certainly moved to the extent of saying that he himself offered regulatory relief? If so, were other bidders to build a convention centre in Auckland offered regulatory relief?
Honourable Stephen Joyce, on behalf of the Prime Minister.
On behalf of the Prime Minister, what I stated quite clearly in the answer to question two yesterday was that regulatory relief has not been offered to Sky City.
Mr Robertson said the question had quoted the Speaker from the previous day's question time.
So now we have the issue of your interpretation versus what the Prime Minister has actually said.
But Mr Carter referred Mr Robertson to the rule that keeps the Speaker above the fray.
The member now cannot bring the Speaker into the debate. So I am ruling that the question has been adequately addressed.
Mr Robertson disagreed.
The issue we have, Mr Speaker, is that in effect, it is not me that has brought the Speaker into the debate. It is the Speaker who has brought the Speaker into the debate by giving an interpretation that today has been contradicted by the Prime Minister, or Mr Joyce answering on behalf of the Prime Minister. It leaves the opposition in a very difficult position in terms of being able to hold the Prime Minister to account.
The argument then moved as to whether there was a difference between question times and debates, with this intervention from Labour's shadow Leader of the House, Trevor Mallard.
Mr Speaker, you don't bring the Speaker into debate. We were quoting him at question time, and that is something which is quite different and quite proper. Your opinion, like anyone else's, can be quoted.
But the Speaker stood his ground.
I took careful advice on this issue from the clerk prior to the beginning of question time, and I have concluded that the issue of bringing the Speaker into the debate applies equally to question time. The
Speaker, though, was willing to listen to further argument, including this one from New Zealand First Leader Winston Peters.
Mr Speaker, I don't think the New Zealand First would oppose the proposition that you can interpret the Minister or Minister's answer, providing that that is the answer that binds the Minister as well. And if the Minister wants to be excused from that, they must get up and immediately rebut it. Otherwise, it stands in their name.
And that argument proved persuasive.
The difficulty I am faced with is on numerous occasions yesterday, members who had asked a question then felt that question hadn't been adequately addressed. In future, what I will do is not attempt to reinterpret the answer, but will simply rule whether the question has been addressed to my satisfaction.
Meanwhile, as Rhys Lyon reports, in the committee rooms there was another visit from the Chief Ombudsman, Dame Beverly Wakeham.
A proposed law that would see compensation for mistreated prisoners paid out instead to their victims has been criticised by the Chief Ombudsman.
In this legislation, a victim's chance for compensation is effectively dependent on his or her abuser being abused in turn, and the victim is then reliant on the abused prisoner making a claim for compensation that the prisoner knows they will likely never receive or only receive in part. And I think we would be far better to focus on a better regime for compensation of victims of crime generally than to make one dependent on the other.
Dame Beverly said the proposed law change was unfair on prisoners too.
People convicted of a criminal offence, the punishment for that is deprivation of their liberty. While they may forfeit their civil rights under these circumstances, they certainly don't forfeit their human rights. Leaving aside the crimes they may have committed, if they have been treated in prison under the care of the state in an unlawful manner, or in a manner which, if it had occurred outside the prison, would be criminally would be a criminal offence, then they have rights which must be protected.
And the Chief Ombudsman said there could be other unintended consequences.
But it sends a message to prisoners that really the justice system in New Zealand is retributive, and an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, and I'm on my own, mate. So what incentive have I got to participate and engage inside prison in reintegrative and rehabilitation programs if I am denied justice? And I think that has downstream effects for when they're released and come to a neighbourhood to live near us. I'd rather they were in a better frame of mind than the downstream effect of this kind of retributive and I think, unreasonable, unlawful and probably pernicious proposition were to proceed.
Chief Ombudsman Dame Beverly Wakeham making a submission on the Prisoners and Victims Claims Continuation and Reform Amendment Bill to the Justice and Electoral Committee.
That's report from Rhys Lyon. I'm Tom Frewin, and this program is brought to you with funding from the Office of the Clerk.